Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I am your host, Henderson Mann, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello.
And with us on a semi-regular basis is Rich.
Hola.
So we're here to talk about stuff today. I don't know, there's not a whole lot of much to talk about, but we could just jump into...
You really do suck at hosting.
Would you shut the fuck up?
So bad. So,
I got some something things to talk. I definitely have some stuff to talk about this week.
Oh, awesome. All right. But first, I wanted to tell everybody to pay attention at the end of the show, because we have an interview with Will Woods, my buddy. And me and Kush interviewed him yesterday. Well, I tried to interview him. Apparently, I suck at interviewing as well, according to both these fuckers. not Rich. Rich is the good one. I like Rich.
I'm the angel. Well, the show was young.
He wasn't there.
Remember you said that. The show was young.
But, yeah, we interviewed him about the Ultimo Dragon graphic novel that he is a part of. They're working on that.
Kickstarter project.
Yeah, and...
And he has an affinity for mentally challenged cats, apparently.
Kittens. Not cats. He gets rid of them when they become cats.
There you go.
His kitten is actually mentally challenged. I've seen it in action. So, but before we get to all that, we have some what we've been playing. Well, me and Kush haven't been playing anything together this week.
We have. We played one thing together.
Well, it's not on the list.
Well, it's not really a game. It's the act of gifting games on Steam.
And giving away my trading cards to Kush.
I'm like missing out so much on this Steam thing, man.
You are, because I am a maniac when it comes to gifting.
Yes. Although I pissed Kush off yesterday when I gave him worms.
Yeah, well, I haven't accepted it fully yet.
And then the little soap can't take care of.
Hey, it's better than getting crabs.
Yeah, right?
I'd take worms any day.
So Kush has been selling off the cards? Is that what you've been doing?
Well, yeah, you can do that.
But can you guys explain this cards thing to me exactly?
I have no idea what's going
on. I still think they're stupid as hell, but the fact that people want to buy them...
They're not even achievement. They just randomly give them to you, right?
You get them randomly when you play a game that has them included, and after a certain number of drops, like a game could have three, could have up to, I think, eight's the max I've seen. Once you get those, then, like, as long as you log into Steam, you have a chance of getting, like, a three-pack, a booster pack of just random cards. Okay. I don't even think you have to play the game. You just have to be logged into Steam and have already gotten all the drops.
Do you get, like, some kind of notification during gameplay that you get a card? Or do you have
I don't
to,
think
like,
you get it when you're playing the game, but do you get it, like, when you're out, same place where you get like friend invites and crap like that.
Oh, okay.
It'll tell you have new items in your inventory, and people pay for them. All they're used for that I can tell. I think some supposedly give you some kind of in-game reward, but really it's just to get XP for your profile. You create badges with them, and then you get like 100 XP points to increase your level. And a stupid thing that's attributed to it is that if you get a certain level, or I don't know if it's just by creating a badge, then you get like a boost, like, oh, you can have 10 more people in your friends list. And it seems really weird to put something so basic and, like, I don't know, put that behind a wall that you have to, you know, I don't know, you either have to pay for it or just wait. But I mean, the friends list limit, I don't think is that big a deal anyway.
Yeah, there's already a pretty high limit on Steam, isn't there?
But people pay for them, and it's stupid. And I love it whenever I get foil cards, because I have one that has gone, it's still going pretty high, and I might be able to get like $10 for it, and I'm selling that because I don't care.
Most of the normal cards, though, the bottom's kind of dropped out in price, though, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because some people were saying they were getting like $2 a card, now it's like you're lucky to get 20 cents.
It all depends on the cards. I mean, foils can go for, I mean, I had one card, one foil that has, at one point, gone for like $35.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't understand what is wrong with these people. And like I was talking to one person about it, and I don't want to say that I think trading cards are completely stupid. I just think anyone who pays for them is stupid. I don't think if you're interested in them and want to collect them and just like the idea of, you know, you get a booster pack and maybe they'll have something, or you trade with people in that sense. But if you pay for cards, I just think that's ridiculous. I don't care if it's only 20 cents.
So how many cards have you got just for buying gifts for people?
Well, for buying gifts and buying myself the occasional thing, I don't know how many I've got. Because I've also started getting, like, random ones for nothing, where I'll just get a random one. It's like, and it's always Kerbal Space Program now. I had, like, 18,000 ones of those. But
oh, but you had to have mine.
At the time, I didn't have any. I was like, where is that? I'm never going to get that one.
Like, I'm sitting here at the computer, I get a message. Hey, give me your Kerbal Space Program card. What? What are you talking about? Your card from Steam.
I just wanted to create the badge.
Wouldn't fucking crack.
Because I wanted to make the badge. That's it. But yeah, I've just left games running now because that's just to get more cards to sell. Because you don't have to actually play it. It just has to be running and you just randomly get it. So just right now on my main computer, I got 3 games running. I'll just get cards that way.
It's almost like Kush is running his own sweatshop.
Right?
Except for nobody's getting hurt.
Nobody gets hurt either. In the sweatshop. What are you talking about?
They sweat, though.
Yeah, they do sweat.
Nobody's sweating here yet.
Sweating these balls. Oh!
Ooh.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Bam.
I don't know why you made such a big deal about that either. That wasn't that funny. We really have to talk about this hosting thing with you. But yeah, it's the whole Steam thing.
If this podcast goes down, it's going down with me.
I've gifted more games this time than previously. And I've gifted way more than I bought anything for myself.
Yay.
I kind of want Kerbal. And I know it's back in, like, today's the rerun day for Steam. And it's back there. I played the demo, I enjoyed it. Sort of, you know, like the Banjo-Kazooie nuts and bolts thing where you just create these things and watch them happen. Mm-hmm. And then you can see them explode and the little guys in there freaking out. You put them in a ship and no parachute and then they're like, you're dead.
The only thing I've bought is worms and then you gave me gunpoint, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the Steam Summer Sale. Is today the last day or is tomorrow the last day?
Tomorrow's the official last day, I think. The 22nd is when it all ends, so at noon or whatever, so.
Gotcha.
And I'm pretty sure tomorrow's the last day because they have, like, basically called it today's the rerun sale where they put all the, I think, like, the top sellers back on the daily deal. I'm still really annoyed. I wanted Kentucky Route Zero to be that 50% off, and then people picked Dragon's Lair. Of all the games, you pick some game that has been on every platform, and it's old as shit.
Right, it's not even really a game.
Yeah, basically, you could play it on a DVD player.
Exactly.
You could play it on your ball sack.
But I remember that game when I was being in the arcades when I was like 6, 7 years old. It's ridiculous. It and Space Ace.
Space Ace, yeah.
So, and they both had cartoon shows. That's the America we lived in back then, right, Rich?
Yep.
Now we can't get a video game cartoon to save our freaking lives.
And that might not be a bad thing.
What video game cartoon would you even want?
I don't know. Or animated series or something, you know.
I'm actually excited about, but even though I don't have cable, so I don't know if I'll be able to watch it some other way. I'm actually kind of excited for that Raving Rabbids thing, because I like those stupid things.
Wait, there's a Raving Rabbids coming?
Yeah, they showed it for that at the E3 convention, that there's like, I think it's on Nickelodeon or whatever. It's that thing that like integrates with Kinect and like you can interact with the show.
Yeah, now I kind of remember. I liked the Raving Rabbids, but I just liked them when they would do stuff and just scream at people. That was funny. Yeah,
Minions.
We did have that Viva Pinata show.
I don't even know.
You know what?
I was going to mention that, but I don't remember ever watching an episode of it.
I was listening to this podcast called This Year in Podcasting, and so basically they take video game show or like they take different podcasts and they like go through a year and they play like the best clips of the year. So I was listening to the ones from the first year of One Up Yours, and they were talking about Viva Pinata, and I was like, oh, you know what? I've never played Viva Pinata too. So I got up and I was like, I might buy that on the Xbox on demand. Do you know that fucking game is not on demand?
What?
Yeah.
Why not?
That is so stupid. It's their own
game.
That is so stupid that is not on the store, on the Xbox on demand.
Huh. No, because nobody wants it.
I bet you go to GameStop, but I think it's probably still going for $30 used.
No, I have it. You can borrow it.
I don't like to borrow games. I like to buy games. You know me.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you like to buy them and sell them.
Oh, my God. I wish I never sold those 40 games for an Xbox One. I've never heard the end of that since I've done that.
I'm just, you know me. I'm not somebody. I don't like selling games.
I didn't like to, but I liked it after I sold them. And then I started slowly buying some of them back. Like, I bought another copy of Tales of Vesperia because I missed it.
So, yeah, I have. I think I only have one copy of that game. I have a limited edition of that.
Oh, I didn't even know they had a limited edition of
that. It's one of the more rare limited editions, at least for the 360. And I've got, like, it came with the soundtrack, which was two discs, and they sent me two copies of it. So I have an unopened version of it and then my own.
Yeah, I'm about sick of this gaming drought we're in. I'm starting to go have the fucking DTs. I really need something to play. I'm perfectly fine. You don't buy anything day one.
Yeah, well, everyone's not you who buys every single game that ever comes out. I'm surprised you didn't buy Ride to Hell Retribution.
Oh, no, that game, no.
What do you care? You buy everything. It's only $30 too. It's like half price.
No.
It's already on sale.
Although,
See, I'm okay with it because I'm still saving my shekels for my Xbox One, so.
Yeah. He's still playing Grid 2.
Yeah, I am, actually.
I seen he played it last night. I'm like, yeah. I almost got there and said, Ridge, play something else, please, God. Play anything but Grid 2.
Well, I was half in the bag when I was playing it, too. I'll get to that in a minute, though. I'm nursing a bit of a Ron Jeremy hangover right now.
Yeah, see, that was like, oh, man. Now, is that the bottle you have to drink from yourself? You know, you have to put it on your dick and then
suck yourself off? My penis was in my pants. Ron Jeremy, believe it or not, has his own rum, and it's really good. A little too good, because I had one glass too many last night.
speaking of rum real fast, when I went down to see Big Steven, I bought a bottle of Bacardi 151, and I convinced him not to use a chaser on it. We did a shot of no chaser, and I thought that boy was going to fucking complain the entire time we were done after that drink for the rest of the night. That's all I heard about. That shit's disgusting, and it is disgusting. I mean, it's fucking 151. You know, it's pretty bad without a chaser. But it was funnier watching him freak out about it. He's like, I can't talk.
I can't. Hey, at least he said he couldn't see. He'd be in real rough shape.
So, anyway, we've blabbled on here for about Steam sales and other crap. So let's get to what we've been playing, or I've been playing. I've been playing the beta, quote-unquote, for Ascend, the Hand of Kull. And this is that Xbox Live arcade game.
Damn it, I never got mine.
I got mine. I haven't touched it. Like everything, I got the World of Tanks beta.
Yeah, when did you start?
Me? I got it like last week. I don't remember what day it was. I was at work, so I don't.
I'm not getting it. Boo.
But here's the thing: I don't really call this a beta per se because you get achievements for it. So it's like,
really?
Yeah, it's the full game already. You get achievements and everything.
Well, I'm assuming it's going to be just like, you know, the Gmail beta, where it's just going to roll out. It's going to transition, yeah, and all your progress is not going to be removed or anything.
So it kind of is like, in theory, it's kind of like one of those Facebook games and stuff, because you can get unlock a lot of stuff in the game. It's not like you have to buy anything, but basically you can buy the in-game currency, the souls or whatever it is, and then, because a lot of the weapons and stuff are expensive, and on top of that they do break, so that you have to repair them all the time and stuff too. Usually you'll have enough money to repair them, but sometimes you have to really save up for to actually buy the new bigger items and stuff. But I haven't exactly figured out. At one point I was like a level 5 and they told me I had to ascend, or they told me I could ascend. And when I ascended, I lost levels and I only got to keep one item, and it just was like, what? So, and I don't know what happened. I was so confused about what was going on, because it seems like there's not too much direction to what's going on. But basically, it's an action game. You walk around, you kill monsters and stuff. One of the most annoying things is there's no kind of roll out of the way or anything or any backstep or to get out of the way of things. So you're going to take a lot of stupid damage from just like enemies' wide attacks and stuff because there's you just simply cannot move out of the way fast enough. Some enemies can shoot this green shit across the screen and hit you, and it's like you can't really – it's so hard. You have to actually see it coming, and sometimes there's a lot of enemies off screen and stuff shooting shit at you. So it's just really – there's no way to really avoid getting hit a lot of times, and the more you get hit, you know, the worse your armor gets and you have to repair it. It just seems – I really want to like the game, but I don't know. I just – it's not that exciting to me. There's some dungeons and stuff you go through, and they're kind of fun because there's chests in there, so you kill a bunch of enemies – and you'll open chests, and when you open chests, you'll get new armors and stuff. So you can get armor and stuff that way as well, and you can sell it. But it usually sells for something really shitty, like, oh, 157 souls. And you're like, well, yeah, but the new items for your level are like 3,000 souls and stuff. So you're not going to sell this shit and make a lot of money off of it. But
What kind of story does it have?
It doesn't really have much of a story. It deals with you're a giant, mm-hmm. but you also have to fight these titans. And so sometimes these large titans will come up and they'll pick you up, and you'll have to use a quick time event to keep hitting A or something until you hit it with or stab it in the hand and it drops you or something. There's so much going on, but at the same time, there doesn't seem like there's really much going on.
It's just, I have a question.
Yes.
Because I haven't played it yet. Does it play at all like Toy Soldiers? Because it's from that developer.
Okay. Here's when you go to an area of the game, there are these sacrificing places, and you'll go into these towns and you'll have to kill all these enemies. And when you're done, you'll have to sacrifice this guy on the altar. And once that happens, you get the area will turn your color, and at that point, all the warriors in that town are part of your group. So basically, if you press up, they will climb up on you. They'll climb up you like if you're a fucking giant, because that's what you are, and they'll ride on you. And so when you get to an area and you're fighting enemies, you can push down and they'll all fall off you and they'll start attacking the enemy that you're facing. Or they'll even still cling onto you if you still have them, and they'll shoot arrows from your body onto other enemies. So that's kind of – but you can't really control them much. You can just basically tell them to get up or get down. The problem is when you're going to an enemy village. Okay, this happened to me. While you're playing the game, I guess this is what the ascending has to do with. After you ascend, basically, other people can come into your areas. I'm not exactly how they do it. I don't know if you have to have an item like demon souls or something.
Mm-hmm.
They can basically come in your area and take over one of your altars. So, and then I was like in the middle of a fucking dungeon, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this dungeon. Also, that's like such and such person has attacked your village. Do you want to go? I'm like, well, fuck, I just want to do this dungeon. So I went to this area and I had to fight this guy who's another player, and I was fighting him, and me and him got down to like one last hit. Of course, I got fucking killed, so he basically took over my area, and I just kind of respawned right there. So I kept attacking him, he kept killing me, and then my armor started flashing because it was fucking dying. But once he killed me and took over my area, all of my soldiers started attacking me as well. So then it became even harder to take back my area.
Mm.
And I got pissed and fucking rage quit when it was saving. So now every time I load back in, it fucking freezes. And I don't know if that's because what I did, because it'll let me go into the game, it'll let me go into the main village, but anytime it sends me back to the world where my new quest is, it locks up. And I haven't been able to get on the boards because I don't know if I didn't sign up on the boards for the same email address I'd signed up for the game, so they won't let me on the boards. And so that's kind of annoying, because I know it'll let me read the titles of the forum board problems, and I see one for freezing issues, so I try to go in there to read and say, hey, how do I fix this? Nope. They won't let me in, and I've sent them a message. I'm like, please let me in. So I don't know. I got to figure out why the hell they won't let me in or whatever. So
do you think if there was like more of like a story that it would help the game? It just seems like it's sort of like,
it's just kind of bland. I mean, it's everything about it. Like the combat could be fun. If it just seems like you take a lot of unnecessary damage, and there's like been several bosses I've had to fight, and they've got these long range attacks where they're swinging really fast, and if you start taking too much damage, like your health gets too low, mm-hmm. it will you start walking slower, so it's even harder to get out of the way of some of these blasts. So it's just stuff like that. You do have a block button, but I've never been really good with the block because you still take a little damage, and it's almost like you got to pay attention to their movements and stuff, so you know, okay, I know exactly what kind of attack he's going for, so I need to run and stuff like that. So it's just kind of really frustrating. It's not a bad game, and it's free, and since it's free, you know, you'll get the achievements and everything. You can still for that.
Yeah, it just seems like awesome.
It's just at the same time, it's kind of annoying because everything is so slow, and you're like, and now it's even more frustrating because people can just come in and take over your areas, and that affects the money you make as well, because if you don't log in for a couple of days, you're accumulating money from those areas that you hold. And so basically, you know, I last time I logged in, I had 4,200 gold and or whatever it is. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the next mission. And that's when it keeps freezing up every time I've went. There's a lot of freezing problems in the beta, and I'm hoping they fix those. But it just seems weird to me that they give a beta that gives you achievements, but yet it's still got freezing issues and stuff. So I don't know when this is coming out or anything, but
it'll probably just roll out.
Yeah.
It's like that Happy Wars game was available for people in the whatever dashboard beta.
Mm-hmm.
Back
I never played much of that. I tried playing it and I
played a little and it was just like whatever.
Yeah, I tried it because it was free and I was like, yeah.
And
exactly.
It looked ugly. Like it looked like they're trying. It looked so much like Fat Princess in art style, only uglier and cheaper and played worse. So I wasn't really interested.
Yeah. So, and then the only other thing I've really played new this week is that Kush bought me Gunpoint for the Steam sale, so I tried that out. And it's a cute little game. It's got a good sense of humor. So basically, you're some kind of detective, and you've gotten this jump ability, so you can do these high-powered jumps. And basically, you have to infiltrate areas, get to a computer, knock out some guards or whatever, and try to erase some video footage or whatever. I've only got to like the first couple of levels. I get real frustrated with video games when you can't use a controller. So I suck at using AWSD controls as well. So it's kind of hard and annoying for me to play.
What about using WASD controls?
They're same thing, motherfucker. But I mean, the game looks pretty. It's got a nice 16-bit video game style or whatever you want to call it. And it could be fun if you're used to PC games, but I would definitely love to play this on a console, and I think it would be pretty easy to play this on a console, but we shall see. I'm pretty sure I've heard that somewhere that it might be coming to a console. So.
Well, it'll probably come to PS4.
Yeah.
Because PS4 is going to get all the indies a year after they come out.
Yeah. So, that's going to be it for me.
Okie dokie. I've been playing Deadpool because you sent it to me, and I don't care about borrowing games. I don't need to buy games, especially this game because it's short, even though I haven't finished it. But I've been playing it every chance I get, and I think the humor is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the gameplay is just, I really don't like it that much. It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, I listened to your podcast.
I hate the shooting.
Yeah,
I hate that part of it so much. And it's not so much...
That's horrible. It's Deadpool.
It's not so much that I hate his shooting. It's that I find it annoying when enemies can shoot me. And I'm like, there are people attacking me with melee, and I want to fight them. Because the melee is fine. The combat is fine. I mean, it's repetitive, and it's not that deep. But it's passable. But then you have these people shooting at you, and it just gets annoying as all hell. Because you have to focus on them. Because, I'm playing on hard, and... At least in the beginning, they could kill me in like two shots, and it was really annoying. But it's
even on normal, I died a lot because it seemed like it didn't take them very many shots to take your health down. And so, you know, you're trying to avoid all the melee guys, and you're trying to get to the shooting guys. And there's no really cover based system or anything. You could hide behind walls and crap like that. And there's not even really a lock on. There is a lock on, but it's so terrible. That's almost useless unless you're fighting like the flying enemies or something.
The lock on is worthless because it rarely ever locks on, and then it will last a few seconds, and then it just feels like, oh fuck it, I don't care anymore.
So, well, this is how the lock on's supposed to work. You find an enemy, Rich, so you hold down the left trigger, and as long as you'll stay locked into that person, as long as you don't move the camera button, if you don't move the right stick. But if you touch that right stick even a little bit, it'll unlock and you're automatically fighting.
Yeah, which is really good because when you're in combat and you're trying to avoid projectiles being shot at you or people attacking you, what you really want to do is not move. Great idea. But so, I do like the humor.
Yeah, the humor's great. I mean, he does a lot. Because
I am a fan of Deadpool. I'm not the biggest fan, but I don't hate him like everyone on the Signed In podcast. But I do enjoy his humor. Sometimes it doesn't work so much. And, I mean, like, I wish there was more variety in the levels. Because at the beginning, it was okay because it seemed like the levels would pass by a lot faster. But that prison level was, like, it took forever. I'm like, how many times am I going to have to be in this stupid prison?
Mm-hmm.
But, and yeah, I think the whole Gambit clones are funny, but then they get annoying because they just keep coming.
Mona me.
That's hilarious.
But then they just get annoying. It's definitely worth a rental.
I still want to play the game just for the humor, man.
It's worth a rental.
Well, look, here, Fritz.
Or a borrow. You'll get it after Lunchbox.
Lunchbox? No. Lunchbox gets it. Then Sean gets it when I get it back from Lunchbox. And then when
I don't
Sean
want it
back,
again.
Fuck you. You and Sean are not the same person. So
I'm half of who he is.
This Deadpool game is going to go across the fucking country before it's done.
Awesome. This game needs its own Visa pass.
But I think it's stamp it
for each state.
I think it is, you know, regardless of the gameplay, I think it's I don't even know if I want to say impressive, but it's just nice that they let them go as far as they did with the game and the humor and all that.
Uh-huh.
Because it does. I mean, this is not a kid's game, so don't have your kids around when you're playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's kind of interesting how much they mess around with the gameplay, and then, you know, like, we'll have a little side scrolling bit here, or we'll do something weird here. Sometimes that doesn't always work out. Like, where I'm currently at is a part where you're like shooting at like a carnival thing.
Oh, okay.
And that's getting annoying. Yeah. Sometimes the checkpoints are really stupid too.
Yeah, some of the checkpoints are terrible.
They should do checkpoints. It's okay to do checkpoints like 1 minute and then a minute later, because there was like a point where you'll get to an area and then you have to like, you go through a cutscene or like a bunch of dialogue or a bunch of worthless crap. And if you die, you've taken before that all happened. So you have to go through it all again. And that's so annoying.
And the best thing about this game is the fucking Cable theme song.
I love that part. I just love it whenever Cable's on there and he's just like ignoring them, and it's like it just keeps cutting back like him in like this rocket, little toy kid rocket ship. He's like, whatever. And they sound like Charlie Brown character, like a whatever.
Make
that thing
it stop. Damn it, Wade.
The humor's good. I would, you know, but I'd say I liked Comic Jumper more, but in the same way that I really like Comic Jumper because I thought it was, and it might still be the funniest game I've ever played, but the gameplay was just like, I know.
I hated Comic Jumper.
I wanted to love Comic Jumper so much. I just couldn't get past the mechanics after a while.
I love the humor.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I finished it.
Oh, man, you're a glutton for punishment.
I got it for review, so. But, yeah.
I got Tiddlywinks for review one time, and I didn't do that bitch because it was hard.
But yeah, that's Deadpool, and that's pretty much like the main stuff I played. So everything else is just gonna be garbage. But like, I was in playing Gyromancer
because he doesn't have a.
That's my new.
Game.
That's my new. Yes, that is true. This is my new food game.
I got hooked into that game for a while, and I forgot. I bet I couldn't play that fucking game if I went back to it.
I jumped in it at first, it was hard trying to remember how everything works. It's from PopCap. It's just another kind of like puzzle RPG, and the way
it was
works
PopCap
is,
and Square Enix had something to do with it, right?
Yeah,
they might have had something to do with like all the, I don't know, the RPG-ness story crap and all that garbage. But mechanically, it's PopCap because it's basically like Bejeweled, three or whatever. When they introduced the rotating mechanic, whichever Bejeweled that is, that's how this game works. And then you're matching three to build up a combo, and then you'll get little highlight ones that can attack an enemy. It's simple stuff. It's a game I can play with one hand. there, I can play with one hand while I'm eating something with the other. Oh, think about it. Think about it.
He means vagina.
Yes, I mean vagina. I also played a little bit of Swords of the Stars of the Pit on Steam, which I picked up when it was 75% off. It's a roguelike, and it's okay. The controls are a bit funky to me, and it's annoying that because I didn't look at all the controls. I just looked at like movement, and then I didn't know what I was doing like when I first started the game. And the only way to get to the options menu to see the controls is to exit out to the main menu. When you escape, all you can do is like continue or save and quit. So that is just stupid. Why I have to do that? Why there isn't an options menu in the pause menu of the game? But it's fine. It's like, I think one of their, like, the thing they say about this at special is that while you're doing your stuff, I mean, the monsters will be chasing you forever. And it, I don't, the thing that I was annoyed was when I first jumped in, like, I was in the first room, and then every, like, it seemed like every enemy was already attacking me. It's like everyone from every direction, they're all coming at me. It's like, I just jumped in here. How do they all know I'm here already? But it's okay. I've only paid $2.50 for it. It's now $10. I would not pay $10 for it. But it's okay. I'm a fan of roguelike, so I'll probably play it some more and see where it goes. It has trading cards. Whoop-de-doo. And then the last game is Texas Cheat'em, which is this is what I was playing before moving on to Gyromancer. And I think this is the worst poker game I've ever played. I hate it so much. It is so annoying because the whole mechanic of cheating, it makes hands take forever and the AI is stupid and it's just so annoying and it's just not fun and the AI is just completely idiotic. It's probably the worst poker AI I've ever seen.
That's because everybody's cheating.
No, they're not even cheating. They're just idiots.
Well, that sounds like a great game.
It's easy achievements points. I'll say that much.
Awesome.
So there you go.
So Rich, what you been playing, man?
Other than
Grid 2, I've been playing a little bit on my PS3. I finally got around to trying out Saints Row, the third.
So you didn't play it at all before now?
No, I didn't. You know, I'm one of those people who never ever finishes any of those like GTA type games. Mm-hmm. I came close to finishing 4, but I don't know. I mean, I played a bit of Saints Row 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
But I liked Saints Row 2, but mm-hmm. mechanically it just kind of frustrating. So what I'm doing with 3 is I'm putting it on casual and I'm just enjoying the crazy. That game is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy like in an awesome way.
My biggest problem with Saints Row the 3rd was the fact that first half of that game is doing nothing but the activities making you try to believe those are missions.
That was my biggest frustration. It's just like progressing through the story and I'm like, I don't want to go through all this stuff. I already know all about this crap. So why are you making me do this? It's such a stupid thing. I know Jeff Gerstmann pointed that out. Like he realized that during his second playthrough. He's playing through now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that aside, I'm just like I said. I played it on casual because I just wanted to see what crazy stuff they would throw at me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not. When I play a game like that, I'm not really interested in challenge per se. I just want
to. Maybe I need to start that up and catch you on PS3 one
yeah,
night.
That would be cool, man.
Because I've downloaded it from PlayStation Plus, and I've like, I even played that, and I was like, maybe I'll play that with somebody on there, so maybe I'll catch you one night. And we'll...
Yeah, that would be cool, because I want to try out see how the co-op works on that. Because that's another thing I didn't like about the second game. I tried doing co-op with one of my buddies, and maybe it's because he's in Europe, but it was unplayable.
Oh yeah,
and we tried a few times, and it was just like the lag was so bad. I couldn't do anything. But I don't know. I know it's an old game. It's old to most people, but it's new to me. I'm kind of enjoying it.
That's one of the benefits of PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, no doubt.
So did you play Sleeping Dogs?
You know, I wanted to love that game. Like I tried it. The first time I even looked at Sleeping Dogs was at PAX East, like the year before last, and I was shocked how well polished the game was and everything. For whatever reason though, I started playing it and I just kind of got sucked back into that open world thing that I get sucked into, where I'm just, it's just, I don't know.
Like,
just,
I'm getting near the end of that game now, because I never finished it on 360, so I've been playing on PS3 since I sold my 360 copy. And yeah. I thought, well, this is a good way to start from the beginning and get a few trophies, so maybe I can get used to getting trophies. And I'm getting near the end of that game, and I'm just like, every time I fucking beat a couple missions, and it's like, oh, all this other side crap opened up, all these little yellow missions. I'm like, I want to do all those, but I'm so sick of the whole game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm just
exactly.
like, I just want it to be over. It's just like, I don't know, man. I just, that game just, everybody seemed to love that game. I know, Kush, you loved Sleeping Dogs, didn't you?
I really enjoyed it.
Yes. Yeah, I was.
I just get that open world fatigue after a while. Because everything opens up and you're like, okay, but I got to do this first. And
I don't know if I just don't like any of the characters or that the story's just kind of boring.
The story is nothing. It's garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's what a lot of it is, because I'm like, well, I could be having fun doing these missions, and a lot of times it's like, I don't know if I, like, when I start to go do a mission, I'm like, wait, is this going to be this style of mission just by the name of it? Am I going to be fucking racing something? Like, I gave up on the races. I was like, these races are no fun. I just can't do the races.
Which races specifically?
You know, the orange on the map races. Just the
orange ones?
Races.
What is that? Is that Mexican?
Yeah, the orange Mexicans. Map. No, I just don't care for the races, the optional races.
That's very mean of you.
Yeah.
I know, but getting back to Saints Row the Third, I'm actually liking it a lot more than I thought I would. I thought it was gonna be kind of like a one and done thing. I think I might, you know, granted I'm playing it on casual, mm-hmm. but I kinda wanna see where it goes.
Yeah. To me, that game was pretty good on normal, just because you start to earn money and stuff, and you can unlock those abilities, and like eventually you just could be fucking invincible.
I love that. Jumping out of planes, you just fall to the ground, and just whatever. Everything's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It's a cheat system, but it's actually doesn't. It's like, because I know at some point you're just like, I don't give a fuck no more.
Yeah, I mean, you have to complete everything. It's like to get there anyway.
You know, and then, granted, when the series first started off, it was THQ's poor man's GTA.
Yeah.
But now they've kind of gone and done their own thing, and
I really like the first game too.
I don't think Saints Row, the first Saints Row game, got enough credit. This game was awesome.
And I found it so funny that the character didn't talk. I actually wish that was in every other game, because he talked twice or something.
He talked every main mission, which you went on to go kill the main.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
He talked like twice or something.
Nope, he talked four times.
Okay, four times. That's so much more than twice.
Well, I said it was every main mission.
There are more than four main missions.
No, there's main mission. I'm talking about the main missions where you go kill the head of each of the gangs. And then
Well,
the
that's not
boss.
A main mission. That's a...
That's the main missions.
There are... Fucking shut up, okay? Move on, because you're being stupid and I'm kicking you off the show. You're definitely not the host anymore. You're out of here. You're poor. Rich is rich.
Rich don't want to be here with you every week, don't you know?
He's
got
someplace
other important to be. Eat a dick, Kush.
I'll let him talk about Grid 2 as much as he wants, unlike you.
Oh, I'm in.
Oh God, let me out. I'm out. I'm gone.
I don't think I can talk about Grid 2 anymore, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, listen to this. Rich is going to play Saints Row the third with me. So fuck you.
I'm looking forward to that, actually, man. Well, the other game I've been playing, any other game I really want to talk about is something I've been playing on my notebook and my phone. I've been playing some Halo Spartan Assault. Let me see if I can spit it out. Yeah. Halo Spartan Assault. And I've been kind of waiting for this. I'm a big Halo fan. Mm-hmm. This game is actually really good for what it is. Hey, Chris, have you tried it out yet?
No.
Nah.
Is it on Windows 8 too, or just the phone?
Yeah, it's on Windows 8 too. Okay. It's on Windows 8 too. It's basically a top-down shooter.
It's like Allied Assault, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's got all the cues. I mean, the game is done by 434 Studios, so, I mean, all the sound effects are there, all the weapons are there, the vehicles are all there. And essentially, how they package the game is you're on the Infinity. and you're doing some training. And what they're doing is simulations of battles from the past.
Huh.
And it controls really well. I'm not a big fan of the virtual sticks, but on the especially on my notebook, it works really well. I was surprised how well it worked. I think the game does have – I'm not sure if the patch is out yet, but it's going to support Xbox controller support.
Hmm.
Actually, I think I read that the patch is out. I'll have to try that out later on. But, yeah, the game is awesome. It's more Halo.
Yeah, I would love to play that, but unfortunately, I do not have a Windows phone or a computer that can run it, probably, so.
Well, you would need Windows. Do you have Windows 8?
Oh, I don't even have Windows 8.
There
see? Fuck.
Yeah. You know, because, I mean, I love it because, you know, I have a notebook that's not all that powerful, but I can play this on it, and it's awesome.
Huh. Well, maybe
and I would love to see more games like this on the Windows 8 platform, for
maybe
sure.
Maybe I need to upgrade to Windows 8.
But wait for 8.1 to get done when it's going to do, and then get it. The beta's kind of a pain in the ass.
Just saying. I'm not even bothering with that. I'm just waiting for the official
release.
Yeah,
I was dumb.
Yeah. I know there's apparently there are things in 8.1 that really help battery life for.
Yeah, there are. There are. Yeah, I've noticed that right away.
That's a big thing for me. So I really want to upgrade right now. But I just wanted to officially come out, so I don't have to deal with it.
Kush, did you ever get a Surface?
I have a Surface for work.
Okay. I thought you'd said you got a Surface.
I looked at one, and then I ended up getting one because I think if for most people, it's not worth it. But if you're an artist, and I mean, the stylus input is pretty damn good for what it is.
Mm.
And I bet you, Spartan Assault will play awesome on that, too.
The battery life is... That's the problem. I mean, like, if that thing had a battery life of an iPad, that thing would be, I think it would be a killer piece of hardware. I'd say it's better than the iPad, though. I mean, the app ecosystem would still be better on iPad, I think, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know. I'm really encouraged by this game, though.
I have a feeling this will be released on Xbox One or something, too.
Probably.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, man. And, apparently, there's going to be a lot of DLC for it. So, kind of cool. I'm kind of hoping they, you know, like, I've only played through the first chapter of it.
So, is there actually story in the
Well, the story is in the scenarios of, like, you know,
they're
battle
based on actual combat.
Actual combat, yeah.
What I've heard is it takes place between Halo 4 and Spartan Ops.
Yeah.
Okay. I still need to play Halo 4.
Yeah, you
do. So maybe I should finish Halo Reach before I play Halo 4. I don't know about all the timeline shit.
Just go to Waypoint. We can meet up on all that stuff.
All I know is that my favorite Halo game from what I've played is still ODST.
Mm-hmm.
I love that game.
I know. I'll tell you another thing that Spartan Assault has me pining for is another Halo Wars game. It's my favorite console RTS. I hope they make another one.
I should play that too. I have that.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That is awesome. I love that game.
Why do people pick Dragon's Lair? I'm never going to get over this.
Let it go, man.
It is so dumb. God almighty, what is wrong with people? The Steam community is so stupid. Their choices are almost always garbage. And you play anything else?
I'm trying to think what else I played. No, not really. You know what I'm really waiting for though?
Tales of Vestilia. That's what I'm waiting for.
No, I'm not.
The Wii U to drop in price by $150.
Well, you know what? I am waiting for that, man, because I really want to get my kids one, but I'm not spending that much money for it. When are they going to do a price drop?
I'm shocked that there hasn't been one already as bad as it's been selling.
Dude, I mean, the closer we
get
to
Tokyo Game Show,
the other two launching,
yeah.
I mean, the worse it's going to be for them. They got to know that. You know?
Maybe.
Tokyo Game Show. Maybe.
Yeah. But anyways, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. What's Dragon's Crown?
Oh, yeah.
That comes out the same day as Tales of Zillia. So.
Yeah, I've been waiting for something to play on my Vita, and that's going to be it.
Oh, you're getting it on Vita. I'm getting it on PS3. Damn.
I don't know why you'd get.
No, is it? There's no just crossplay.
I don't think there's crossplay. It's cross. I think it's.
It's a cross saves. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
It could be cross by if you buy the PS3 version.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Okay, then no.
Yeah, that's because it's $50 for the PS3 version. It's $40 for the Vita version, and there's no cross buy, which pisses me off.
They should have made it $60 for PS3 and made cross buy.
Oh, if it would have been $60 for both, I would have. Well, I already bought the.
I would have done it because they did it with a
$60 game on the PS3.
It's a $50 game.
Oh, it's a $50 game
because they did that with PlayStation All Stars, where the PS3 version was cross buy, but then you could buy the Vita one separately.
I'm pretty sure they said it wasn't a cross-buy at all, but if it would be, that would be amazing, but I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I guess the game's, it's 12 hours to get through it per character. So, I mean, it's a pretty fleshed-out game.
Yeah.
Kush, you were going to say you wouldn't what?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
You wouldn't get it on the Vita, you get it on the PS3 instead.
I would get it on the Vita.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of game that I would, want to play everywhere.
See, I get it on the Vita. The problem is I can't play the Vita very long without my hand cramping up. Even with the stick, or not the sticks, but the handles or whatever, I can't play my Vita very long. It's too thin. They need to make these consoles fatter so I can grab onto something.
I'll wait for the community to vote it 50% off for PSN.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, is that it for you, Rich?
Yeah, that's it for me, man.
Alrighty, let's get to movies we've watched. Kush looks like he's watched a lot of shit.
Did either of you see Spring Breakers?
No.
No.
Good, don't see it. It is an absolute mess. It is a piece of
shit. You saved us the trouble.
It is so terrible. I don't understand why anyone was like, there were so many people talking about how great the writing was and how different, how unique it was. And it's just like this, there's like no writing in this at all. It's all garbage. The first 40 or so minutes is just like random shots of watching these girls like do handstands in their stupid hallway, or then going to like actual spring breakers. Oh, look, here's some boobies.
Yeah.
And James Franco.
Titties. Who wants to see that?
James Franco is kind of funny in it, but he's not worth it. And like the way I saw him is he was basically like Dave Chappelle playing Rick James. And the best of the whole movie was like this like 2 minute dialogue he had where he's talking about the dumbest things. Like he's like, look at all my shit. I got shorts in every color. I got designer shirts. I got Scarface on Blu-ray. Look at it. I got it on repeat. Like, this is the dumbest thing. It's like, I lost it the second he said he had shorts and like that was a big deal. And then in every color, he's got shorts, guys. He has shorts in every color. And
even
he's got Scarface
chartreuse?
Playing on loop. Scarface is on repeat all the time. Scarface. And designer shirts.
I've actually heard there's a lot of rappers that do that. Have TVs all their house playing Scarface all the time.
It is dumb. This is such a
stupid movie. I thought that was a prerequisite for being a rapper. Hey, who directed this?
I don't know. I don't care. I hope they die.
Wow! Yeah, cause, wow!
I think that's half. I know it's somebody of note. Maybe that's why everyone's so enamored with it. I looked at it, and this, even for the trailers, I'm like, I don't want to see this.
I almost saw it in the theater, and then I didn't because the ticket price, what I saw online on Fandango, was way cheaper than what they ended up saying it was. So, And then I'm so happy I didn't because I would have lost my mind. It's directed and written by Harmony Korine. That's not anyone of note. That's not anyone of note. Holy shit, it's a dude, too. I thought that was I figured Harmony had to be a woman's name.
Who the hell names their son Harmony?
Oh, it's a guy who directed Kids. That's probably why he's a...
Yeah, see, that's why. I knew there was some kind of, like, indie charm thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Spring Breakers is no indie charm.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
No.
I also saw Bachelorette, which is garbage,
too. God, they turned that fucking TV show into a movie. Damn it!
Yeah, you're... Okay, that's very funny, but not really. This
Rich
is that.
That's why we like Rich.
I don't know. It's like Kristen Dunst.
Rich laughs at everything.
Yeah, he does. That's why he's a better host than you, and why you're off the show, because he will just laugh at everything. But Bachelorette was like, I guess it was supposed to be sort of like a female Hangover, like a second rate one because Bridesmaid was technically that. But it's got Kirsten Dunst, that redhead from Wedding Crashers, and that Lizzie Kaplan, and then that fat blonde who's in Pitch Perfect and a whole bunch of stuff. She was in Bridesmaids as the sister. I don't know any of these people's names.
That flat fat blonde.
Well, that's who she is. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone would know that if I said her name, they'd be like, "Who the hell is that?" Oh, that chubby blonde girl. But it wasn't that good because all the characters aren't really likable and the story is just whatever. I don't know. It wasn't enjoyable. I think it was one of those really early in theaters and video on demand when it did officially come out. And now it's on Netflix. So if you want to hate yourself, you can watch it too. But I also saw Despicable Me 2 when I was up visiting my mom.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that movie. I think,
wasn't it awesome?
Yeah, I liked it more than the first one. I think the first one story wise is better because I don't really like the new woman character. I thought she was a bit annoying, and the story with the whole, I don't want to get into it, but I didn't think that was as strong as the first one's just main story. But there are more minions in Despicable Me 2, which means it's a better movie because I love the minions.
Did you guys see the minion Tic Tacs?
No, where?
Apparently they're selling Tic Tacs now, and they look like little minions. They got little minions like painted on them.
Nice.
I need to get those.
Yeah, no
but
doubt.
That's a horrible Tic Tac because those are the kind of Tic Tacs I don't want to eat. I just want to look at them.
No, but I wouldn't eat the minions. I would just look at them.
Yeah, exactly. So they're horrible. And they're all gonna have bad breath because they're just looking at our Tic Tacs.
They don't all look the same either. They're kind of.
And are there like random purple ones inside of it?
Where'd you see that at, Rob?
I don't know if it's real. It may not be real.
Good job.
Hold on.
No.
Where are the Minion Twinkies since those just came back? But I really...
Did you guys see the thing on Reddit where some people like smashed in one of those...
They're not real.
those steel doors that you see in malls to get into a McDonald's to get the Minion toys?
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
So you watched any movies, Rich?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I was done with Despicable Me 2.
Okay, go ahead.
I highly recommend the movie. I think it's great, but I died at the end. Like, I want to see the movie again just for like the last, I don't know, it was like 5 or 10 minutes because there are two songs the minions sing, and I died when those both happened.
Dude, I know.
Those are just.
I did too.
Oh my God. I bought the soundtrack so I could listen to Minion versions of these songs, and that is the dumbest thing in the world.
The new Chipmunks?
Yeah, but like, I don't know why I love those Minions so much. Like, it's just so stupid. Like, there's a stupid skit where they have Gru rowing a boat, and then one of them just go like, Babu, 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 just keeps, and like, they really play it out for a decent amount of time. And I'm just like, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done with Despicable Me now?
Yes.
Are we done?
Yeah.
All right.
You're a despicable host.
It's so
host.
Fluffy I could almost die. All right.
You're despicable. You
haven't seen it yet, Rob?
I haven't seen two. I didn't like one that much, so I haven't really been excited about two.
Two is really good.
All right. So what have you seen, Rich?
Well, you know, I got kids, so I got to take them to see family stuff. So I took them to see Turbo. Imagine that, me going to see...
A racing snail movie.
Man, I gotta say, I liked it. Granted, I'm a little biased because
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's good.
The problem with why, even though I've heard good things and I'm kind of interested, but the whole idea of like, I think everything up to the point of him racing against actual cars would be fine, but I can't get over the fact that is the most ridiculous, stupid thing in the world. How that would ever happen.
He drank
some NOS energy drink, bro.
I don't care how fast he is. Having a snail on the freaking track with all these cars is just the dumbest thing. And why people would be like, it's okay. He can compete with us. It's just so stupid. Though I'd rather see it than planes.
But you know what? I still enjoyed it. And if you're a motorsports fan like I am, and you know a little bit about IndyCar racing and Indianapolis Motor Speedway, This movie is sort of like a love letter to Indianapolis.
So it respected the actual racing.
Oh, man. I mean, it respected the racing. I mean, they had little nuances in it, like, you know, the rubber off the racing line and how it affects the cars. I mean, you could actually see the physics of the cars going through the corners. It was really cool. I mean, and
was Dick Trickle in it?
No, Dick Trickle's a NASCAR driver.
At least Ryan Reynolds
may he rest has in peace. One
successful movie.
Yeah, right.
Well, come on. He's got that rest in peace department. Well,
RIPD. Yeah, that came in 7th this weekend.
I actually wanted to see that.
I wanted it to be good, too. No, I wanted it to be good, too. But it's apparently not.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the story, it's okay. But the characters are I don't know, compared to some of the other animated things I've seen lately, not too annoying. Because, you know, cause I really don't like those. I'm not really a big DreamWorks.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of theirs either.
Or Pixar or any of that stuff. I'm just not into that stuff, really. But I have kids, so I go to see these things. And Turbo was all right, man.
Cool.
So did none of us see Pacific Rim?
Dude, I want to go so bad, but it's like...
I have no desire to see that movie.
I can't see what my kids say. Oh, dude, I just love the idea of Pacific Rim because...
Like,
I remember,
every time they show previews for that, I'm like, that movie looks so awesome. Then it gets the giant robot stuff, and I'm like... Ugh.
No, dude, that's the best part.
What part of the trailer looks awesome when robots
like
aren't
when
fighting?
The monsters are fucking attacking the city and shit.
So you just want a movie where monsters kill everyone.
Because I was this kind of makes me think of I was like, oh, this makes me, you know, the military or some group of people is going to fight these monsters. And it's like, oh, giant fucking robots.
How are they going to fight them? With tanks?
Right.
Like, come on.
Step, with crush, planes. Tank done.
There's been other movies where they fought them with tanks or there's been a group of people that knew how to stop it.
And guess what? They got stepped on and Godzilla came and saved the day.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You gotta fight fire with fire.
It looked awesome when the giant monsters were attacking the town, and anything with giant robots sucks.
Nah, dude. See, man. See, growing up, man, I used to love on the weekends they had like the Saturday matinee, and it would be like Mothra versus Ultraman.
See,
I never liked
Godzilla.
I love those movies.
But Godzilla's a monster,
man. Right?
Yes, but so was Cloverfield, and I loved Cloverfield.
Yeah,
and they didn't kill the monster in there, and everyone's dead.
Dude, yeah, man, this is like, Pacific Rim looks awesome. It's everything I like about like that genre.
And then hearing that half the movie is shot in total darkness just even more makes me annoyed.
Dude, monsters attack at night. Why would they attack during the day? They're monsters,
but
man.
But you can't see anything. That's the problem. I want to be able to see.
Do you know how much more it would have cost to do all that 3D modeling? And light.
Exactly.
I don't care how much the movie costs.
Like Cloverfield, where you hardly see. All you see is like an arm
or
a leg.
That was part of the appeal of Cloverfield.
How do you know it's not part of the appeal of Pacific Rim?
Because they've made a big deal about it. It's fucking robots fighting monsters.
No, so you know what's going to happen, Rob. You're going to rent this shit. You can forget about
this
show.
It's going to be his favorite movie
of all
time.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
I'm just saying,
it's the best thing ever.
There's nothing I've seen about that preview that made me excited to go see that movie.
I'll be like Mark. Go back to the footage.
There you go. I'm writing down the time right now.
I am free to admit that
this is going to be Lars and the Real Girl.
Yes,
Lars and the Robot Girl.
Fucking Lars and the Real Girl. Yes, I fucking shit all over that movie when Kush talked about it. Finally, I went and seen it and fucking loved it.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, any more movies you've watched, Rick? Rich,
You know, I watched The Dictator on Netflix with my wife.
I watched that too, like a month ago or something.
Yeah, I watched it Friday night.
It wasn't as I was expecting.
No, I was expecting it to be total shit, and it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah.
I can't remember that much about it now.
Is it Netflix?
Yeah,
it's on Netflix.
Okay, I have to watch that because is it better than Bruno? Because that movie was
great. It was way better than Bruno.
I mean, it's different for him too because it's an actual, you know, it's not like him go. I mean, there are parts of that probably, but it's more so an actual narrative with
like
right.
An
I
actual
the
movie.
Borat movie. I like the Borat movie, but Bruno was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So is that all the movies you've watched, Rich?
Yep, that's it.
And it's right. Also
go see Turbo.
The
awesome.
Dictator is also a very quick movie, so okay. It goes by real fast.
Speaking of Netflix, I started watching a new series exclusive on Netflix. Is Orange Is the New Black? And
I
seen you watch.
I was
going
to talk about. Yes, I watched the whole thing.
Have you watched the whole thing?
Yes,
I really enjoyed it. That first episode, too, I was kind of iffy on it. I was like, it doesn't, it's not that funny, but it really picks up when they start talking about the other inmates and stuff, and they do little flashbacks to their lives. And
great job of integrating the other stories of how these women end up in jail.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Very good show. A lot of heartfelt moments and stuff like that. Did you know it was based on a true story?
No, that I didn't.
No, it's a book that she wrote called Orange Is the New Black, and the reason what got me attached to it is because I noticed that her name was Piper in the show, right? And at the end of every episode, they show the exclusive
right,
and
I
it says her name
too.
Is Piper Kerman. Piper. I'm like, well, right. That's weird. Is it based on a true story? And sure enough, it is. I don't know how much it's based on a true story, but because I haven't read the book. Mm-hmm. But I know that I read like the jacket of the book on Amazon, and basically, it talks about crazy eyes and stuff like that. So all that shit is probably real about crazy eyes. But they do a lot of great stuff with the series, and I really enjoyed it. I'm definitely the way the first season ended. I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh man, how long do we have to wait for the season?
Yeah,
two?
I cannot wait for the second season of the show, because it. Because, I mean, the characters in the show, they like, really evolve. Because it's like, when you first meet certain people, you're like, oh, he's such a nice guy. And then you're like, oh, mm-hmm. Fuck.
You're like, what a sadistic son of a bitch, yeah.
And they've got some good romance stuff in there with the guard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, some of that was really sweet. And just everything can go fucking wrong in this show.
Now, you know what I love about that show, too, is like, the main character, just her self-awareness as the series progresses. Mm-hmm. She realizes, wow, I really am messed up. Mm-hmm. And I really do have to work on myself,
So the premise of the show is that she did something 8 years ago, and she thought she'd gotten away with it. She'd ran some drugs for her girlfriend because she was a lesbian back then. And like 8 years later, she gets she decides to turn herself in because they were going to come after her pretty soon. So she's a self, what do they call it? Self, I can't think what the word is, but she turns herself in to start her prison sentence, self sentence or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically she's gets put into this woman's prison, and it's not maximum security prison. It's really minimum security. I'm like, they don't even have cells. They sleep in these little fucking dormitories almost.
It looks like basic training barracks.
Yeah.
Reminded me of Fort Jackson.
And it's just some of the stuff that she goes through in there. It's just like the first episode, which it's just, the first episode's like, eh. But yeah, as they really get into the background of everybody and herself and how she got thrown in there and who done it, that was all fucking fascinating and interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't have instant streaming, do you?
I do.
You have to watch it.
How do you think I watched Arrested Development Season 4?
Well, I knew that, but I thought you were getting ready. You said last week.
I've been thinking about it. Yeah. And I will say one thing.
Wheelhouse, man.
About, like, I remember seeing the previews for this show, and I thought it looked interesting. I don't think Netflix has done anywhere near the same amount of promotion for this show as compared to, like, House of Cards or Arrested Development.
Yeah, kind
of.
Because
I completely forgot it even came out.
Well, I mean, what House of Cards, I mean, you have some star power.
I know. But you know what I mean? I think they should
But this is definitely a sleeper hit.
They should pimp out all their stuff that is, like, this is exclusive to Netflix.
I think some of the subject matter is a little controversial, I guess you could say. So I guess they kind of want to see how it played out because, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in there that aren't, like, big names, but...
They have
tell you what, man.
The pie
it's not so much
in
the
it.
Big names. It's the person that's responsible for it. What's her name? Jin Jay or what? I can't think of her fucking name. She's responsible for Weeds.
For Weeds, yeah. Which kind of turned me off to this because I was like, Weeds kind of fell off real quick.
Yeah, Weeds did fall off real quick.
My dad loves Weeds.
I loved Weeds for like the first three seasons, and when they got
to
Mexico,
I lost.
My dad loved it so much that he went through the whole thing, and he's starting again. He's nuts.
So the last season of Weeds wasn't too bad, but the seasons where it all dealt with the Mexican mafia and all that shit down there in the drug running, I'm just like,
yeah.
I've never seen an episode of Weeds.
I think you'd probably like it, Kush. Even though, even with the subject matter, because I'm not, you know how I feel about marijuana and stuff like that.
I don't care about marijuana. I mean, like, I'm not a fan of drugs, but I'm personally, I think marijuana should be legalized right now.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't do it.
For all reason, for like, not like only for this kind of use. It should just, that's exactly why. I mean, like, just legalize it so we can tax the shit out of it. We need money, tax the shit out of it. And it's, I don't care. I've never used it, but I don't think it's,
you know what?
Anywhere near as bad as people say. It's, you know, so you have smoking, we have drinking. It's not a gateway drug.
I don't think we need anything else. I think we need the money. I think we need to break down on some of the alcohol we consume because it's. I don't know.
Oh well, you know what's interesting? You guys say that because I did watch something else over the weekend on Netflix. I watched Ken Burns' documentary on Prohibition.
Oh yeah, I did see something about that.
That's all you have to say. It's Ken Burns.
That's it's really good. And I tell you what, man. They tried making alcohol illegal, and it caused way more problems before than it did after.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I mean,
because of the mafia and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I mean, you're going, you're always
speakeasy,
right? It's like, why give these cartels and you know these growers out in the sticks or whatever? Why let them? You don't do this stuff.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have problem with person doing pot like they would drink alcohol. Where arguably
marijuana is better than cigarettes than tobacco.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's actual beneficial uses for it.
And yeah. I agree that I could see pot used for
medicinal purposes.
You know, for medicinal purposes. Yeah. I don't have any problem with that. It's just to me, people don't respect alcohol, and I don't like to be around people that smoke fucking pot all the time. When you talk about pot,
then you don't have to be around them. There. Yeah, they're and also you don't there. Have to associate with those people.
Right.
Have you ever worked in retail? You have to associate with these people.
Well, guess what? They're already smoking pot, whether it's legal or not. So it doesn't matter. I don't think if pot becomes legal that suddenly everyone's going to be smoking pot like crazy.
It's definitely not everybody, but it's definitely going to increase the amount of annoying fucking people you have to deal with.
I don't think it would change that much.
If it's legal, there would be no restrictions. People would not want to do it, or people there would be no reason for people that didn't want.
I have no desire to do it. I want it to be legal.
Yeah, but you've never had any desire to do it when it was legal or legal. But I'm
exactly.
Legal,
I think there are a lot of
people that don't smoke it now because it's illegal. Might go out to get it because it is legal, because they wanted it, because they didn't when
I
they
don't,
were kids.
I think a lot of people
young.
Who want to smoke it now, whether – there's no – it's so easy to get fucking pot. It's not hard to get.
It's not about getting it. It's being legal. Just
they don't care. They're not going to fucking – a cop's not going to suddenly be like, I think that guy's got pot on him.
Okay. One thing I will say is this, Rob. Watching that documentary, Americans now are consuming alcohol at a far lesser rate than they did – 100 years ago.
Well, yeah, my grandparents made fucking moonshine out in the back in their. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to drink very much of it to be fucking drunk off.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, man. And you know, a lot less instances of like alcohol related cirrhosis of the liver, or you know, or alcohol poisoning, all that stuff. It's way down now, and it's legal because the government controls it.
I don't know. I just have my feelings, and I'm not going to agree with you know, that's just how I feel. I hate dealing with potheads. I've dealt with them before. I've had friends that were so fucking high all the time that it was so fucking annoying to talk to them when they were that way.
Yeah, and but I'm sure you have. I'm sure we all have friends that have problems with alcohol too.
I don't have too many friends that have problems with alcohol, but I don't agree with that.
I can't stand being around anyone who smokes tobacco.
Yeah.
Makes me sick. I'd rather be around somebody smoking pot.
It's never bothered me. I was married to a smoker, so.
Well, I'm also asthmatic and somewhat allergic to it. But I'm okay around marijuana smoke.
I just hate the way it smells.
I think marijuana smoke is annoying the way it smells, but I don't care. I say legalize it and tax the shit out of it.
All right, let's move on to Grimm.
I've been watching Grimm. I'm about 9 episodes into the first season. I'm enjoying it. I really like the Wolfman guy.
My mom loves it, but I've never watched it.
I'm really enjoying it.
Is it on Hulu Plus or anything?
It's on... The first season is exclusive to Amazon Prime.
Fuck it.
So that's why I'm watching it.
Have, Have you guys watched through the second season at all yet?
I've only started the first season like the past few days, so I'm
I watched the first season and I don't know, the second season just kind of lost me.
I don't know. I'll have to wait and find out because I'm enjoying the first season. I love his buddy, the wolf guy. I really like that character and I like that actor.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, me too.
But I've been enjoying it. I think the only thing, like, and I can't even remember because I didn't watch that much Buffy, if it was like this on that show. Like, I didn't like Buffy, but I just think it's kind of annoying that all the monsters are basically, they just, their face changes and nothing else. It's never like, they really don't ever change body-wise.
Right.
It's just like, okay, so you have a rat face, you have a squirrel face, you have a snake face.
That's like Star Trek, you know? It's like, we're going to these worlds and everyone's got two arms and
two
legs.
It's just sort of like, I wish there was a bit more than just like, oh, I have a different face. But that's a small detail.
Yeah, that's the CGI budget, man.
Yeah. But the show is, you know, if I'm still digging it. I'm happy that the show is doing well. Because it actually got moved from Friday. So,
oh, wow.
It's got a season 3 coming. I think it's... I forgot what it's like coming after, but I think it's also in a pretty damn... It didn't just get out of Friday, but like got a pretty damn good time slot.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So, I watched the first episode of the new season of Newsroom.
Me too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Did you watch that show, Rich?
No, I'm not, I don't know, man. I'm not really into the political you know what? Probably is because I used to work at a TV station, so that's probably why I don't want to watch it.
I know Lunchbox thought this episode was just okay. I thought it was pretty good. I'm interested to see where the season's going.
I don't know. I was really annoyed when I first saw that one character in her hair.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. She looked terrible.
She looked horrible. Her eyebrows looked even less pronounced, like she had none, like she was some burn victim, which maybe she was, because I don't know what's
going on. We don't know what's happened to her yet. I was really annoyed that they didn't tell us in the first episode what happened to her, where she went. I can't remember where the hell she went to.
Africa, I think.
Yeah, so I was like, they almost made it seem like it was not rape, but something serious, but maybe it was rape, I don't know. I didn't get that at all. So I don't know. It was really an odd episode.
I think my favorite person on that episode, and continues to surprise me on the show,
is Olivia Munn.
Like, I don't really like her anywhere
else.
I don't like her.
I did not like her.
Trust me, I could not stand her before I saw her on that show, but I think she does a fantastic job on that show. I couldn't stand her. I hated everything she ever did, even when she's a small part in a movie, like that date movie with Steve Carell and Tina Fey, or when she was on The Daily Show, or that TV show she had before this, that like Perfect Couples or whatever it was. I couldn't stand her in anything, and I was really, like, when I first heard the announcement that she was going to be on the show, I'm like, why are you doing this to you? You're ruining the show already. But she's actually like one of the best characters, surprisingly enough. And she actually does a really good job.
All right, cool. Anything else?
The one thing about Newsroom, though, is just that, you know, because I guess that's how it's always going to be, where they're like, and maybe that's why why it'll take so long between seasons. But I'm like, I don't want to see all this. I can't remember what it was called.
Occupy Wall Street.
I'm like,
That was big news.
Yeah, I know. It's just that because of where I went to school, where I go to school and everything, like, it was such a big deal there. Like, I don't want to go through this. I was like right in the middle of all these kids talking about it. I'm like, I don't want to go through it again. It was such an annoying thing. But yeah, that's me.
Alrighty. Books. I have read two more of the Gone series books. I just finished book 3 last night and started book 4. I only got 3 more of those books left, 4, 5, and 6. So I've really loved the series. The series is so fucking good. There was talk about a movie, but that kind of fell through. I'm really hoping they go back and try to make a movie out of these, because this fucking series, man, is way better than the Hunger Games. It's really great. I just fucking love it. I just fucking go through these books so fast. Like, it's been a long time since I've read 2 books in a week. So, or in, I guess, 2-week period. But, yeah, it's fantastic series.
And here, like, Tommy Girl, she goes through books like that.
Well, they're young adults, so they may be 500-page books, but they're kind of, you know, there's not as much print on a page, but I just fucking love this. And it's like, I keep thinking the book can't get any darker, and it continues to get more murderous and more Lord of the Flies as it goes on. It's just, it's fucking crazy. Like, the second book was dealing with, it's called Hunger, because it's dealing with fucking people, fucking 10-year-old kids starving to death. It's crazy.
Wow.
So, and how they solve that problem and everything, and you're dealing with some kind of weird monster in a cave called the Darkness. It's just fucking creepy ass shit. There's been times that it's been a long time since a book gave me chills, and I didn't think it'd be a fucking young adult novel to give it to me.
Hmm.
So it's a fantastic series by Michael Grant. So I can't recommend these books enough. I'm buying them from Kindle every time I finish the next one. So. Like I said, I've already 10% through the first one, the fourth one, third one, no, fourth one. So, but let's get on to the news before we end this shit. And kind of a down note, Ryan Davis from the Giant Bombcast, he passed away on July 3rd. We didn't know about it until that following Monday. And when I woke up that day, I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was a joke too, because
he had gotten married, that they were making a joke about him getting married, and I was shocked to find out it was real. So it was definitely a sad day. I'm still in shock by it.
Yeah, me too.
So, but
he will definitely be missed. I mean, that guy. You know, we all have our favorite media types in the industry, and I always liked mine.
Second to us.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No, third to us. But I always liked him. I really always appreciated his. He was like thoughtful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would always look at whatever he was looking at as, you know, for what it was.
He's a very nice guy.
I think some people have a tendency to, like, you know, have their judgment colored a little bit beforehand when they're looking at something. Mm-hmm. And I never got that feeling from Ryan Davis.
Yeah, he's always seemed very positive about anything you talked about.
Right.
And, you know, it's sad. I listened to the newest Giant Bombcast this week, and it was just so weird the way the podcast starts now, because it's Tuesday. And,
right.
You know, the first one after he passed was, I mean, you could hear it in Vinny's voice. That was, like, killer.
Yeah.
More so than any other part of that episode. It was just him introducing the thing, and just you could hear him, like, holding it all back. Mm-hmm. And that was killer. And I did a podcast about it. It's just...
Yeah.
It was not a great day.
Yeah.
And the fact that he died 5 days after he got married is just...
I know.
I just can't imagine. And they still haven't said what killed him. There's a lot of speculation and everything, but...
I mean, he's a big guy, so...
Yeah. Somebody said sleep apnea, so he had sleep apnea pretty bad, so that could possibly be it, but who knows. But yeah, I wish they would have announced it, because being a big guy like him, it does scare me, and I just kind of wanted to know what it was that he passed away from. But you know, you got to respect the family's wishes and shit like this. So it's terrible. Giant Bombcast is still going on. I'm really shocked that they didn't take any time off.
I know. I thought they were going to take a break, but no.
But I think maybe that they would have figured Ryan would have wanted it this way. And the fact that Ryan was like the number one or like the number three on Twitter of the most popular things on the day he passed.
I think he reached number two.
Did he reach number two? Nice. Ryan Davis, number two. And they said the funniest thing was he would have loved it. The Hollywood Life article on, or what was it? Oh, no, it was Newsweek or something did an article about him passing away, and they thought that was hilarious because they picked some of the worst pictures of him that they found on the web. So, but, yeah, so Ryan Davis, you will be missed. This week, at San Diego Comic-Con. That is what's going on this weekend, right?
Yes.
Okay, they announced Strider HD, an HD remake or a new game for the Strider series by Capcom. It's being done by Double Helix Studios, and they've been responsible for some other shit, but including the new Killer Instinct game on Xbox One, because that game looks like killer shit.
All I've heard about that game is good things.
Really? I don't know.
When people actually get their hands on it.
Yeah.
I was never a fan of that series to begin with. But I'm kind of excited for Strider. It definitely looks like fucking Shadow Complex.
Cool.
So
I can definitely be up for some more of that.
If it's any good, I hope it's some good. Double Helix has done some shitty games though. But I can't remember what right off the top of my head.
Everyone needs to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the developers of Arkham Asylum. I mean,
I was just about to point them out too.
What was their first game?
I don't think it was their first game, but didn't they do that firefighting game?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they did something. Did another one that was kind of
something Inferno. Was that what it was called? Burning Inferno, or something? I don't know.
I'm still. I wish that TMNT game was actual or reality.
Yeah. No. That's sad. I mean,
with their name, it just makes so much sense.
But it's the thing is that now Warner Brothers owns them, and Warner Brothers has no connection to TMNT. So if they did, they would have probably.
Yeah, they just announced a second TMNT game based on the TV show this time, and that one looks pretty terrible.
Awesome. I think it looks awesome.
It looks gameplay.
My boys are all horrible.
It looks like a cheap kids game.
I think it looked like fucking. And that one's probably going to be like.
It did not. The gameplay and everything. It just looked like a mess on there. It's just so annoying. I wish. Because the other game, Out of the Shadows, looks gameplay wise like it could be very good. But the art style is just like, why did you go this realistic route? I wish they just had
them
that
noses
art style.
On the fucking turtles look so stupid.
The whole thing looks weird on them.
It just. Their whole face just doesn't look right. I don't know.
Well, my boys, they're in. They're all about that.
I love new cartoon series.
The show is amazing. The comic is amazing. Yeah. Everything TMNT is amazing right now. Well, who knows how these games will turn out, but everything else.
Atlas parent company begins selling operations. So there's not going to be any. There's not going to be a problem with any of the publishing right now, but. I don't know what's going to happen with Atlas, if they'll get sold to somebody or what's going on. So, it could be the end of seeing a bunch of crappy games from Japan coming over but with the Atlas logo slapped on them. Mm.
And all those awesome, like, special editions.
Yeah.
They're looking at apparently, like, the early reports, and not, because I don't know, there hasn't really been any updates, but, like, that the Atlas brand was actually one of the profitable parts of the business. So they were looking for either partners to help with that or just to sell them off. So the only thing I would definitely not like it if Nintendo bought Atlas.
Oh god, that would be terrible. God.
I don't want Persona 5 to be a Wii.
I don't see the upside for Nintendo doing it, to be honest with you.
Like I said that could be interesting, though I still think it wouldn't work, is like Microsoft doing it, because then they get that hardcore people to like, oh, maybe we'll be interested in your systems, and they can also potentially help maybe get the Xbox somewhat, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Like, competable in Japan.
Dude, if they had
the man that created Final Fantasy make games exclusively for Xbox.
And it was a good game, too, man. Oh, well, one of them was good. I don't know, Blue Dragon, but the other one.
Honestly, they should just make, since Xbox One is region free now, they need to not even worry about putting it in Japan. People want it in Japan, they'll just fucking.
Well, I mean, it's going to come out. Whatever, like later, because it's a territory.
Right. I guess what they're trying to do is they're trying to make, trying to put together enough Japanese specific content, like media wise. You know, they're working on deals, like getting, you know, live TV over there and stuff like that. That's what's taking so long for them to launch in Japan. You know, Microsoft, they have a lot of money. They can afford to, like, keep trying.
Lots of money.
You know, so keep trying.
I just hope that Atlas doesn't go under, and I hope that they're not bought out by any company that would make them exclusive to any platform, because I think they do a lot of great games for all systems, and I don't want to see that happen.
Right.
Like said, Dragon Crown, man, you know? Yeah.
You got that, then you got Etrian Odyssey, which is great on the 3DS.
Yeah, and the DS 3DS, exactly.
Although maybe it would be nice for Xbox to buy them, that way we'd actually get some of their games on Xbox. Like Dragon's Crown. So, but no, that's not fair to PS3 people. And then the last thing I wanted to bring up was Battlestar Galactica writer hired for a new Santa Monica Studios game. And they said specifically he was hired because of his work on Battlestar Galactica. So could that mean some kind of futuristic spaceship type sci-fi setting for the next God of War studio game. Could that be interesting?
And,
I'm glad to
actually
see
them
getting
away. And then it'll have a very stupid, horrible ending.
I'm glad to see they're getting away from God of War. I love that series, but they've done too
many. Now it's going
to
be God of the Universe.
Protoss takes out the sun.
Right. And he'll just, instead of saying fuck all the time, he'll just say frack.
Son, why do you spite me?
That was the worst Kratos impression ever.
I know. I hate that game. I've never liked that character so much. Yeah, I've never liked that series.
I love that game series, always will, but it's time for it to take a break.
Yeah, like a long one.
Yeah, like forever.
Yeah.
No!
The God of R.I.P.D.
All right, anybody else have anything news that they want to bring up before we end this biatch?
No, this episode's already long enough because we have half an hour interview.
I'd like to say one thing though. Me and Tommy Girl have been talking, and we may see He Played, She Played making a comeback as early as August.
That's not cool because you already got a job. You already got
No.
This will be
job number three, man.
It's going to be part of this show, and she's going to take your place. Because remember, we're getting rid of you.
Oh, man, that was quick, huh? Just to turn on you on a dime, damn.
Oh, boy.
Fuck you, Kush.
You're a horrible host, Kush.
I'm a great host.
That's now, what I like, Rich.
See, now Rich is gone, too. Tommy Girl's taking his place.
She would, too. She'd rat me out.
There you go.
Tom and Kush show. All right.
No, it's a good thing, though. I mean, no, I'm still going to be doing this with you guys.
When you can.
Yeah. Cool. Which probably be most of the time.
You need a better URL for your other podcast, Grandad.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we'd have to get permission from the series, and that costs a lot of money. So you are right.
Every time I plug the show, it's always like, go to iTunes.
Yeah. You know, you actually do the Facebook page instead.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just rename the podcast since it's gone a long time anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe work on a good name that's less confusing. Hmm. That's almost as bad as Steven when he started his own podcast, O Indeed, and it had more O's, or it had more H's. So you had to figure out how many H's it was in O Indeed. So
I will pass that along to management and see what she says.
All right. Let's get our pluggity plugs in, and let's get that pluggity plug out.
Okay. PixelatedSausage.com. Check out the other podcast I do, Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Very original title.
I feel like I need a new podcast. A podcast, you know, everybody else got two podcasts. I feel like I'm
smiling here. One's already too much.
Me and Big Steven starting a new Big Fat
one,
Cast.
One is already too much. We already went over this. You're going to be replaced by Will. Even if he's never here, just his presence. The thought of Will. But yeah, and if people, I mean, though this is going to be after it, the interview, so I was going to tell everyone they should stick around for that, but I want to have this come in after that so people don't just run away. But you should also check out Sign In Podcast at signinpodcast.com, the Two-Headed Nerd Comicast at twoheadednerd.com, Undercover Unitards at undercoverunitards.com, and on the Twitters, I'm at Kush3. That is all.
All right, Rich.
Also, one last thing. You motherfuckers with Dragon's Lair, I hate you all.
Let it go, man. Let it go. All right, Rich?
All right. I just want to plug my other show, Grandam Unleashed. If you at all interested in sports car racing, definitely give us a shout. Check us out.
I didn't laugh because Steven said he tried to listen to it. He's like, all they talk about is cars. Like, that's what the show's about, man.
Hey, man, thanks for checking it out, though. Appreciate it, Big Steven. You guys need a friend on PSN or Xbox Live, Rolex DP Racer, look me up, man.
Yeah, don't look up Kush, because he'll just fucking fire you for no reason.
No, we have very good reason. Your very good friend said you're a horrible host. I trust him. He knew you back in the Perfect Gentleman days.
All
right. See, look at that. He just leaves dead air there. What kind of host does that?
That was me. That was Rich. I was waiting for Rich to continue.
Uh-huh.
He said, I can't follow up Amazing Gentleman.
Perfect. It was perfect.
Oh, perfect, I meant to say.
Yeah. A perfect gentleman wouldn't be so quick to correct someone.
Do we have any pictures of that?
No, there are no pictures of that.
Too bad.
You can easily picture it in your head.
I know I can.
I wrestled with black slacks, a shirt, a button-up shirt, and a tie.
That's awesome.
So you wrestled as a Mormon.
No, it wasn't a white shirt. And I had dress shoes on, and before a match I would strip down, and underneath I had on a tank top shorts. And that's what I wrestled. And I've killed Rich.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
And I did get hit with a shoe in my own match, and I did choke somebody out with a tie one time. So
that's awesome.
I would always try to shake hands with my opponent before the match started and then slap them or something.
I need a video.
There was no videos. We were four kids awesome. In a trailer park. It was lucky I had pants and a shirt.
We need a reunion match.
Yeah, we do.
No,
we
need I can't. Back. No, there's no way.
Maybe like Halloween, freaking
there you go.
Pixelated.
Everyone,
Halloween special.
Donate to the show. Donate to the
night. I fell on the ice one winter and I couldn't walk right for 2 days. I'm not wrestling.
No, we're going to have a Perfect Gentleman Kickstarter to get you back in costume and videos and everything.
We'll do, you can be a manager.
God, no.
This is all happening.
Yeah, dude, you can be a manager, man.
No. Mm-hmm. Plugs, god damn it, are you done?
Oh, I'm done with the plug. That was all it. Right.
And I want to plug Henderson Man on Twitter, PS3, Xbox 360, Wii U. Add me on there. Also, please take a look at the Kickstarter for the Ultimo Dragon. Kush will have links in the show notes. They're pretty far away from their goals, so he does have a contingency plan, though, but I really want this thing to succeed because the dude's a good dude, and I've known him for so many years, and it seems like such an interesting project. So
that video is weird, though.
The video?
Yeah. It's just weird shot. Like, they have close-ups of, like, mouths when people are talking at times.
Oh, yeah, I don't... All I know is Will is very nervous in that interview when he's talking, so...
Yeah.
But please look that up. Put some money in on it so we can get this thing funded. But anyway, that's going to be it for the show. Everybody, choke on a dick.
He's a ninja! Shing.
And I'm here today with Will.
Is that my cue to say hi?
Yes.
Hi.
And our co-host Kush as well.
Hello.
And we're here to talk to Will today about a project he's part of, which may or may not have a lot to do with our listening audience, but I know there's a lot of us that listen to that watch wrestling and comics. We're into that kind of thing too. So, Will, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your project before we get started?
Well, where do I begin?
I know where
I
to begin.
I'm the most interesting person in the world. I have nothing to tell about where I come from, except for I used to hang out in the trailer park with Robert, and that was awesome. And he used to try and make me draw comics for him all the time. And we used to make up characters, and that's where my career began, is drawing Robert as a medieval fantasy character.
So okay,
if it wasn't for him, I would not be where I am today.
Does that mean we will ever have hopes for a Perfect Gentleman comic?
Oh my god. You know, the Perfect Gentleman. Oh man, that's the throwback right there.
Yes.
It has become a running joke in the all games community when I said I used to do backyard wrestling as a Perfect Gentleman. Yeah.
Well, you did backyard fumbling. It was not really wrestling, but yeah, yeah. Oh, the Perfect Gentleman.
There we go.
In no way, shape, or form connected to Mr. Perfect, and in no way, shape, or form did you also try and do the Perfect Plex as your finisher.
I successfully did that to Ben several times and knocked him out once. So,
But seriously, though, I mean, I started drawing professionally about 6 years ago. I've been trying to get into it a lot longer than that, but I just happened to break into the market, and I've been doing it professionally ever since then. And I have a history of pro wrestling. I actually used to wrestle, and I've trained some guys who are big pro stars now and stuff. And I was at Anime Expo last year, and this guy was coming around picking up business cards saying he was looking for, you know, a possible illustrator for this project he's working on. And sure enough, a couple months later, he got in touch with me, and he's like, hey, I'm looking to get this project off the ground, and I need an illustrator. And it's kind of based in the Lucha Libre pro wrestling world. I was like, okay, that's fine. I mean, those comics are never good, but I'm open to it if you're paying me. And then he's like, hey, do you know anything about wrestling? And do you know who Ultimo Dragon is? And I was like, all right, now this is somebody just messing with me. Cause there's not like Ultimo Dragon. If you don't follow wrestling, this guy is super legit. And he used to, I mean, he hasn't wrestled in the States here for a while, but he's huge overseas, and he was big in WCW and stuff like that. And I was always a fan. So I was kind of skeptical about whether it was the real deal or not, but I looked into the guy, and he was legit, and he really is Ultimo Dragon's business partner and manager. And, you know, he started giving me, you know, little snippets here and there of what they were looking to do. And it caught my interest more and more and more. And sorry, my Avast buyer's database has been updated. But, you know, Gary started talking to me about, you know, this is what we want to do with this project, and it's not going to have anything to do with wrestling. I was like, okay, now I'm interested. Now you're talking my language. They want to do something really creative with it. And then, they actually have a former WWE writer, and the guy who wrote, See No Evil for the WWE. And he wrote a book for HarperCollins called Mondo Lucha Gogo. His name's Dan Madigan, and he is writing the comic, and they sent me the first chapter script, and I have been balls deep in this project ever since. I'm like, this is totally up my alley. So it's based on Ultimo Dragon's mask, but it really has nothing to do with wrestling or anything like that. It's going to be a really cool story.
Yeah. As you look over the Kickstarter page, they have a little video of kind of showing some of the art. It looks like there's guns and demons and
yeah. All it's that. What it is it's going to follow the chronological history of the mask. And basically, what it's going to do is it's going to be kind of a supernatural, you know, it's going to fall into several genres, but it's really going to be the mask is going to be the focus of the story. And the first chapter takes place in ancient, kind of a fantasy based ancient Japan. And so you'll get to see a lot of Japanese demons and stuff like monsters and things like that. And then chapter one will be a 100-plus page book. And when it moves into chapter two, then we move into a whole nother era and a new wearer of the mask. And it's going to move into like 1800s New Mexico or 1800s Mexico. And so it'll be kind of like a Western. And then from there, it moves into kind of a Sin City noirish kind of storyline and so on and so forth moving forward.
Interesting. Very interesting. So how many chapters is it going to be?
Right now it's set at 5, with the final chapter being kind of a Mad Max style book. But, you know, depending on how popular it is and how well it's received, you know, the sky's the limit, because we could always go back again and tell stories we didn't tell before.
Right. Interesting. So, and you guys are going through Kickstarter to fund the first chapter, I guess, is what's going on?
Yeah, they want to do Kickstarter because going through a publisher puts a lot of chains and handcuffs on you that you don't really want when you're trying to be creative. You have to fall into their guidelines of what they think would work and things like that. And we just don't want to get caught up in that kind of mud. So we want to go the Kickstarter route so that we have a lot more flexibility in the kind of stories we want to tell and things like that. So there's no middleman to, you know, water down the product. It comes out exactly the way it's supposed to.
Excellent. So how many people at your Bustab Studios is part of this project? Is it just you and Tyreen?
Yeah, I will be doing the illustration, and she will be doing the coloring. Mm-hmm. And we're still kind of in the shopping phase as far as inkers go. But we have a few people who are really good, and we just have to make sure that they can work well with, you know, with our style, and if they can, you know, work with that kind of heavy deadline load, because 5 books at 100+ pages a piece, that's a long haul, you know, down the road.
Oh, yeah. So, and you got to actually meet Ultimo Dragon, here, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. When we were out in LA for Anime Expo, you know, we've been doing that show for a few years now, and, he flew in from Japan on the first night, Thursday night, and we did a panel on Friday talking about the book, and the panel was amazing. It was really good. The turnout was phenomenal, and he's very funny. Like, he's actually a really funny guy, which surprised me a little bit, because I've always heard, you know, that he's, you know, if you've ever seen Ultimo Dragon like talk or anything, it's like you think he's going to be very hard to speak to and stuff like that, but he's a really cool guy, and he was really friendly, and the fans just ate him up. And then on Saturday, he was at our table signing autographs and promoting the book, and it was just a great experience for me as a fan, plus, you know, as an artist too, to have the inspiration for what I'm working on sitting right there. It was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I could imagine that. Kush, did you have anything to ask Will?
Well, I don't think it's been mentioned, but is this your first work doing an actual comic book and not strictly like illustration?
Yeah, this will be my first like large job. I've done other independent work before, and this still falls on the independent scale, but I've done smaller things that I'm not proud of, but like, you know, it's out there. You can find it. I'm not going to tell you the name of it, so you can't go look it up, but like, it's there. I have done work before, but this is the first project where I get to have a lot more control. It's a lot more high profile, and I get a lot more input as to what goes into the book.
And I'd also be curious if there are plans as to what would happen if the Kickstarter is not funded. Like, what is the step after that?
There are other avenues to go down. There's always the going through a publisher option, which we didn't want to do, but it's always there as a possibility. There are other, what's the name for Kickstarter? They have some kind of like
crowdfunding,
crowdfunding. Yeah.
Indiegogo,
Indiegogo. And then I think there's one called, GoFundMe or something like that. Those are always options too.
I know with Indiegogo, and I'm not sure about GoFundMe, but with Indiegogo, you can set it up so that if you don't reach your goal, you can still get the money in.
Correct. That's correct. And and that is definitely probably the secondary option for what we want. We may have to look into altering the format that the book comes out in, because the reason for a $35,000 Kickstarter project on something like this is the book is going to be a big, beautiful book. They're talking about, you know, it's going to be an embossed hardcover book and things like that, and so that's a lot in printing costs. So, you know, we might have to alter our plan on how the book, you know, we might have to go softback, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
To lower the publishing cost. But, you know, that's why a $35,000 cost. Everybody thinks it's just going to go, you know, in everybody's pockets, but it really goes towards publishing is the biggest cost in any comic book, you know. That's where all the money goes.
Well, that's one thing I did notice on the Kickstarter. It had a graph showing you where all the money is going, and it's like this big green section of, hey, this is how much it costs to produce the book.
Yeah.
And this little slither of money going to the artist and writers and stuff.
That's right, exactly. How comics work.
That's mm-hmm. how they work. We actually, you know, as a comic artist, we actually make more money, you know, selling stuff at shows like I have been doing for the past few years than we do working on an actual book. So for me, to work on a book, it actually has to be something I want to do, something I'm interested in, because, you know, other than that, I it's not something I'm going to, you know, make the rent on or anything.
Right. So, and you, so is this taking up a lot of your time doing this? I mean, I can imagine it is, but, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to get at here, but, Are you? Do you still have time for your other side projects and stuff as well?
Yeah, and you know, this has become my side project pretty much. I used to, you know, all my time was dedicated to print work because, you know, our, as you know, you've been there. Mm-hmm. Our prints are how we make a living, and so we always had to be putting out prints, always had to be producing new work. But luckily, I have a beautiful partner who can pick up the slack while I'm working on the book.
She's in the room with you right now, isn't she?
She is not. So oh! So brownie points when she listens to this. So, but yeah, she's picking up a lot of slack. I still, you know, I'm putting out prints a lot more slowly than I used to. But at the same time, I get to unleash my creativity a lot more because, you know, I've had full responsibility for designing the characters in this book, for designing how it looks, picking the art team and things like that. So it's something I feel very fulfilled with. So I don't feel like I'm wasting my time on it.
Right. That's pretty awesome. I didn't know you had so much creative control over the actual
art. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And they are the team, Gary Lee Jackson, who is Ultimo's manager and business partner. He has given me carte blanche on everything. And, you know, I still have to send it to them for approval, but I mean, they're so supportive of the creative process and they don't try and do anything that gets in the way of it. And that's unheard of in the comic book industry. So,
how much research into the art and stuff for that time period have you had to do? Because I noticed a lot of the masks and stuff that in the trailer, how they look very pretty authentic towards Japanese culture and stuff for the demon masks and stuff like that. So how much research has actually gone into that?
I have not had to do hardly any research at all because Dan Madigan is – he is the most learned man I've ever met in my life. When I get notes from Dan on the story, he sends me Dan does not send a one page email. He sends 600 page emails.
Oh my God.
Because they come in with a story. The story takes up a couple pages and the notes and the reference pictures that he puts with it takes up the rest of the space. It is ridiculous how smart this man is about absolutely everything. And he will literally down to how the mask is carved tell me how these things are created. So it's like, so that work on my end is very minimal. I get to do just to translate it to the page, and I get to kind of, you know, tweak it a little bit visually for an American audience. So
that's a good writer.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I've worked on comic scripts and it's very important to bring references and do all that, not just leave your artist in the dark.
Yes, it's like I have worked with writers before who have sent me like a one page will be nothing but sentences of dialogue, and they leave me the rest is like, okay, figure this out yourself. You know, and I'm like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, actually. That sounds like what I used to do to you.
And that's why our comics were so good.
The next Kickstarter project is The Perfect Gentleman.
It's The Perfect Gentleman. If we find our audience with this, we can maybe do an Ultimo Dragon Perfect Gentleman crossover comic, something like that. Yeah, it's there. There's something there.
Not to get too much away from the Ultimo Dragon thing, but tell people what art that they may notice you from specifically. I know that you have some a couple of famous pieces.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to have hit the jackpot on a couple things. The Darth Vader at the Memorial Wall one is probably the most well-known image I have.
Much so that people try to steal it and sell it online in Russia.
If you go on eBay right now, you'll probably find somebody selling it. That's not a joke. That is I'm at the point now where I just wish they'd steal something else. I don't care that they're stealing it. Just steal something else. Make me feel like I have more than just that to offer. But you know, that one's my most famous one. The Mario Brothers Peach Funeral one's very popular.
Yeah, I didn't want that one for the longest time because it's so depressing.
So is the other one. His most famous works are all the depressing ones.
They're the depressing ones. Everybody's like, hey, let's be funny on the internet. I'm like, no, let's be sad. And and then I do have some of the funny ones, like the Spider-Man Deadpool Yowie picture is very popular. We have a Doctor Who Hitalia crossover that's very popular. And Tyreen has several pictures, too, that are pretty well known.
The kids all love The Last of Us right now. You should make a depressing one about that.
Actually, I just sent a message to Rob about that. I've been working on one and scrapping it and then work on something and scrap it. So I'm going to need some...
I'm kind of putting an idea in my head together. I've gotten something. I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, that's what...
You better hurry. I'll get to it before you.
Now, I just actually, like, literally, like, 2 minutes before this started, I just finished my next print, and it may be as popular as Darth Vader when I'm done with it. It's based on a classic film you guys may have seen. It's called Sharknado. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
I just finished my Sharknado piece, and I will be unveiling it to the world here shortly.
Now to get back to the Darth Vader piece, though, mm-hmm. I just want to remember IGN... Not this past Memorial Day, but the Memorial Day before that, they mm-hmm. put that up on the Memorial Day, Memorial Day itself, the artwork.
Yes, it did.
And that started such a freaking controversy of likes I have never seen.
Yeah, and that was, and also I just like to state that that was never my intention. It was not, you know, some people were like, how could you do this on Memorial Day? I was like, I didn't do it. It wasn't my doing. They just chose that day to put it up. So, bad timing, maybe. But, you know, as long as they're talking about you, right? I mean, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I got in there and I tried to defend you the best I could, and people just ignored me because,
I've given up trying to defend it. I really try not to anyway, because it's, you know, it may be a piece of, you know, fan art or whatever you want to call it, but it's still, to me, a piece of art that I've put out there for people to have an opinion about. And so whatever their opinion, like it, love it, hate it, whatever, that's their opinion to have, and I respect it. So.
And I do feel glad that you actually know about the original piece as well, because I've been there at a convention where the guy tries to tell you, oh, well, he died penniless and stuff, the original creator of that artwork or whatever, yeah. And you're like, yeah, I know all about his what happened to him.
Yeah.
You know,
And I'm sorry, but that's not going to stop me from drawing a picture because some artist died. I mean, that's not my fault, you know. So yeah, but you know, it is what it is, and I am still thankful that I was able to put the idea on paper because I was very passionate about it, and it has, you know, really gone further than I ever thought it would. So
honestly, dude, I mean, it's a beautiful piece, and I'm like, I'm not surprised that it got picked up. But I'm just kind of surprised that it just happened the way it blew up. I mean, because that piece is quite famous. I mean, for in your world. So
I remember like when I first saw it, I didn't even know that Rob knew you. I was just like, I don't even think I knew that for like probably at least a year after it had already been out.
Yeah, it's my biggest complaint about the picture is probably that I wish I could go back and redraw it, because that picture is like 6 years old now. So I look at it and I just pick apart how terrible the artwork is on it. So like, I did that
with Rob, and then he's like, I know the guy who drew that. I'm like, oh, never mind. That's how I learned.
If I could go back, I could redo the art, but you know, people don't like it for the art. They like it for the idea.
Yeah.
So you know, I'll just let it go. So
you get better at your craft, and you're always going to look back and think like, I'll write something, and the next day I'm like, this is freaking terrible. Get this shit out of here.
Most people do get better with time, but I've been listening to your podcast, Rob, and you still are not very good at this. So you might think about, you know, maybe doing something else.
Yeah, right. All right, that's Will Woods, everybody. Fuck you too, buddy.
There you go, Rob. You're officially gone. It's just going to be me and Rich.
Of course, I'm teasing.
He's never listened to our podcast.
I have listened to it before, actually. When I'm trying to go to sleep at night, I just put it on.
There you go.
I'm kidding. I have listened to the show before, I promise.
There you go. Your great podcasting skills.
I have shaken him up. I have taken him off his game.
I have a question.
Sure.
Because the thing that stood out most to me in this whole Kickstarter thing is that when it describes you, it says you like mentally challenged kittens. And I was just wondering if you have anything against normal kittens.
I don't have anything against them, but my love is not as strong for them, if that makes sense. Like, there's something about a special needs kitten that just sings to my heart. Like, the way, I don't know if it's the way their one eye closes a little more than the other, or the way the tongue hangs out of the mouth. I don't know what it is, but my love is very strong for this special needs kitten.
I don't know if that's a sweet thing or a very disturbing thing.
And to be honest with you, that's all on Tyrene. She wrote up our bio, and she just happened to put that in there because a while back we drew a little online comic for a competition thing that was between our friends. And I just had to put this cat in there that I called Tardly. And I had to draw this cat in every page. And then so that way she took it as me loving only retarded cats. So that became a thing, apparently. So,
what do you think about Grumpy Cat?
I mean, you can't not love Grumpy Cat. It's ugly cat that makes mad face. How do you not love that?
All right, so yeah. Anything else, Kush, do you want to bring up?
Not that I can think of. When I was looking at the, because when you talked about it, just the vibe I get off of this Ultimate was sort of a contemporary and a bit more fantasy-esque character who is like Zorro in a way.
Kind of like that, that the mantle of the mask gets handed down from generation to generation. But now the super natural aspect of the mask is that whenever the next person gets the mask, they get with that the knowledge and the skills of the person who wore it before them. Mm-hmm. So as the mask goes through time, it gets more powerful and more powerful.
Interesting. I also was wondering if, I know it's not all about wrestling, but if his fighting skills, his forte has wrestling moves in it.
No, it won't. Okay. I might try and slip some in here and there, but it's completely devoid of wrestling altogether. Right. There will be no, as far as I know, I've read the first.
Now, I seen some in the graphic novel stuff where he was jumping over top ropes or something.
That was when we first met. They wanted me to do some stuff of Ultimo. So we did some stuff just for fun kind of thing. And, but that's Ultimo as Ultimo Dragon. That's not the character in the book.
Okay.
If you go down the page, you'll see a couple pictures towards the bottom where there's two guys, they're both standing in front of kind of like an Asian like tower kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One guy has a dragon in the background. Those mm-hmm. two characters and the girl painting on the rock, those characters are characters from the first chapter.
Oh, okay. Nice. I'm looking at that artwork actually right now as we speak, and man, that's very beautiful and very detailed. Nice work.
Thank you very much, sir.
It'll look better when she actually colors it.
Here it comes.
Anything else that you wanted to bring up, Will?
Nothing more than usual. I mean, I know this is a video game podcast, so just remind your listeners that we have a large array of video game themed artwork that they can check out on our DeviantArt pages and stuff. And we're always putting out new stuff. And
doing a little collaboration with you. Not art-wise, but at least getting you to make stuff that's actually selling. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, well, and in fact, the next several pieces we have coming out, other than the amazing Sharknado piece I just finished, they are all going to be video game themed pieces. Tyrene just finished a Sword Art Online. I just finished the pencils on a StarCraft piece. So video games are a large part of our repertoire. So,
and the other half is anime.
And comic books. Comic books and anime makes up the smallest slice of our selection. Yeah.
That makes me happy.
But yeah, he goes that Wills tries to stay away from comic conventions and goes to anime conventions more.
Well, I would assume that
it's kind of flipping now though. Now I've done more comic shows this year now. So,
oh,
yeah, okay. It's just.
But
just,
you weren't at C2E2.
Yeah, especially you can't not go to a comic book show in a time when comic book movies are ruling the theaters. So you gotta go where the money is.
Wait, you didn't go to C2E2?
I did not. No, I'll be at Wizard World Chicago, but let's see, when was C2E2? But that
what was it, May? I think I was there.
I think that's the month where we were on we went from Chicago ASIN, Anime Central, to Phoenix Comic Con, and then to Wizard World Philadelphia. And that was we never went home in that time. It was on the road the entire time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess that'll be it.
All right.
We'll have links to the Kickstarter. We'll have links to the Kickstarter and all that.
Okay, that'd be great. Yep. And you can go to Kickstarter and just put in Ultimo Dragon, and it should be the first one that comes up. And check it out there, and hopefully we can make our goal, and we can show you guys a pretty awesome book.
Oh, so. Did you want to go over it real fast? A couple of the Kickstarter items that they can get for the money that they donate. Yeah, the rewards.
Oh,
because I noticed like some of them is like you get 4 of your prints for free, or
yeah, there's like I know in some of the packages they offer like you can pick any prints out of our gallery. Like you can go to our DeviantArt page and pick any 4 prints you want. And that will come along with the package. There's a package where you can get yourself drawn into the comic. There's a package where you can get drawn into the cover. There's some where you can actually get some of the original pages, which I don't know if you've ever been to a show and tried to buy original comic pages. They are very pricey, but you can get them on the Kickstarter as a reward for very cheap. And I mean, all the stuff, at least I think every package on there has at least 1 or 2 items of artwork from me and Tyrene. So,
well, like I donated some money to it, and one of the things that I donated gave me 4 prints from your collection. So right there, if you were to go to a convention and buy those separately, that's $40 right there. So if you throw in, you know, hello.
Yeah. Oh, I'm okay. I'm listening to you. Yeah. Your beautiful voice.
You're supposed to keep talking. You're not supposed to.
Well, no, it sounded like I wasn't hearing anything. So it sounded.
I didn't know you wanted me to finish your sentence for you.
Yeah.
I was like, it sounded like everything dropped out. Anyway, no.
You really are a horrible host. He's right. I never noticed it until now.
Sorry, I had to bring this to light.
But like the 4 prints or whatever that you can get, that's like $40 if you bought them separately at the conventions themselves. So I think that's and you get that for like a $50. Donation and that includes like a hardbound edition of the book and everything. So it's a really great value if you're into your art and if you're into Will's art. So
I will also say that TMNT is pretty hot. So you should do.
I actually have a TMNT group shot piece, and I have a Shredder and the Foot Clan piece as well.
So. All right. My most famous piece is a TMNT Plants vs. Zombie crossover.
That's pretty epic.
Yep.
So, well, that's going to be it then, I guess. Will, go ahead and plug yourself.
Wait, do what now?
Tell people where they can find you online.
Oh, okay. You can go to Will with 1L -woods.deviantart.com for my gallery, or you can go to ultimodragon.com, and that has a link to the Kickstarter, or you can go to the Kickstarter itself. And just type in Ultimo Dragon, and it'll be the first one that comes up.
And you guys also have an Etsy page?
Yeah, I'd probably get in trouble if I didn't mention that. Yeah, it's under MuseTap on Etsy.com. You just look up MuseTap, and you'll find us on there. And we have a large selection of our stuff on there. If there's something on our galleries in the DeviantArt that you like that's not on the Etsy order page, just email us, and we can set it up for you.
Awesome. All righty. Well, Will, thank you for this interview. Hope your Kickstarter goes well.
Thank you very much.
And
there's still a good amount of time.
You guys can talk about video game stuff or something.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. Video game stuff. All right, gentlemen, have a good day.
Thanks, you're the guys. Gentleman, the perfect one.
That's
the
perfect gentleman.
Yeah, let's not dredge up old memories, okay?
You're gonna be a star. You're not too young.
Look, it wouldn't be the first time that Will's done something that has had me as the muse for that for the item.
Yeah, but those things didn't really take off for me. So,
oh well. Anyway, later.
All right, yes. Later, guys.
It's a ninja thing.
What's up?
What's my up? Dick.
I never expected that one from Kush.
Neither did I.
I know.
So well played, surprising. Sir. The way you said it. My
man,
dick.
Serious. The Steam people are stupid.
Yeah,
they voted for
Dragon.
They voted for Dragon's Lair over Kentucky Route Zero.
I
wanted that Evo land.
I have a feeling that the reason they didn't pick Kentucky Route Zero is because you couldn't read what it said in the little thumbnail, and nobody's going to click through.
I didn't know what it was either. I had to click on it. I do want to play the rest of that game. I still haven't finished the first part.
I would have picked it up. It would have been $12.50 for the whole thing.
Ugh. Fucking Steam.
Thankfully, I don't have to deal with that.
They won't put the one fucking game on sale I want, Rogue Legacy.
So. Yeah, well, that was to be expected. It's the hottest game.
Yeah.
You can get Prison Architect and play the Alpha Build on sale. It's only $20.
Prison Architect?
It's supposed to be pretty good, and I think it's like
really?
The funny kind of, you know, simulator, but I don't like the idea of paying for an Alpha Build in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, they came out and said they charge so much for it to keep people from, like, keep only serious people into buying it. So then why is it on sale at all?
Exactly. Come on.
Alrighty. Well, let's get our voice sound checks in and quit talking about stuff that we could have talked about on the show.
Or you could just put this in the show.
Kush.
Hello.
Rich.
Hello.
Me. Hello. 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 Hello.